This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the Free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
A lot of reaction on this Shohei Ohtani story via the chats, and I am absolutely loving it. I love the discourse. Just a couple of things, you know. Ohtani definitely involved. No rando interpreter racks up millions in gambling debt, but carry that water. I just talking it through, man. How the hell do you have a hot take on something like this that is ever changing? But I just.
And why would you? We don't know Shohei Ohtani like that. We're not carrying his water.
Yeah, no, not.
Right, at least you're not. I
that's the wrong definition of carrying the water.
Yeah, and I'm a little bit more skeptical. I think
unless
than you
cool
are,
with him, but unless you know him personally.
Yeah, no.
Which I don't. I would like to. Think.
Maybe you
I think.
Could get, maybe
to.
You could get about $4 million from him.
You know, if I could get $4 million out of Ohtani, I'd be damned if I gambled a penny of it. I'm putting that in the bank.
Yeah, but you're a gambler. In this right. pretend world, you're a gambler. And what right. do gamblers do? They overspend for what they're capable of. And you ask a good question, you know, how much? What bookie is allowing, you know, somebody to get that far in debt? Well, I mean, that's a really great question, too. And I just wonder that for this rando interpreter, I mean, I don't know. He's not so random. He's making $500,000. And for how long was he making $500,000 from Shohei Ohtani, who's been collecting a pretty penny for a little while now, and now he's going to be worth $500 million in deferred money, but still he's making a ton of money in endorsements too.
Right.
Which is why you defer that money. It's probably going to sit in a nice account and earn about 13% interest every year.
Yeah. He's going to be a cajillionaire.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm just, I'm fascinated with this stuff. I love the discourse. Keep it coming. Love the reaction.
But it is worth, and maybe because I'm not a gambler, I'm having a tough time. I'm not a gambler or rich, so I'm having a tough time wrapping my mind around this level of a gambling debt. But how does it get to $4.5 million? Even if your salary is $500,000, you know, like that's not quite, like he's not Mattress Mack here. You know, like I get how Mattress Mack could have a $4.5 million debt if he had one.
I'm like you. I mean, I can't even imagine living in that world. But I would imagine if, you know, you're making that much money, you're gambling that much money. I mean, you've heard the stories, you know, athletes, you know, playing for millions of dollars on a plane ride from in one NBA city to next NBA city. You're not doing that in the sportscape, you know, with the gambling the way that it is now in sports. I mean, I could totally see it. And hey man, you know, I'm good for it. I got but money see, bags over here. You know, he can help me out.
That's the implication.
That's the problem.
It's that,
however,
either one or two things could be true. And I'm not saying these are the only two things that could be true. I want to be clear about this, but the implication is either for you to be able to rack up that kind of debt with, you know, making $500,000 as opposed to actually making, say, millions of dollars a year, is that you've got this connection. Either The implication is either that Shohei Ohtani is directly involved in this, or that the interpreter used his relationship with Ohtani to leverage that with the bookie and said, hey, I'm good for it because I've got access to this guy's money, or because I'm best friends with this guy and he'll give me the money mm-hmm. if my life depends on it. You know, that sort of thing, which either way ain't good. One I think is worse than the other, obviously, if Shohei Ohtani is directly involved in this, which we don't have a reason to believe that he is necessarily yet. We want to be fair here.
Yet. It's early.
Yet. But it's either that, it could either be that, or the other thing, that he's just leveraging the relationship with Shohei Ohtani to curry the favor that would allow him to rack up that kind of debt.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mm-hmm. like I don't think a bookie would let a dude who makes $500,000, maybe if he made $4 million a year or made more than $500,000, but at just $500,000 a year, you're not racking up a $4.5 million debt without some kind of other assurances that money can get paid.
Yeah. I don't know. It does, the more I'm thinking about it now, it does seem really, really bad for Ohtani. Like, I don't know.
It does not seem
I just
good.
Think you got to go with a better one than he stole my money. You know, it would be wrong. You would be punished for it, but I think it would go a lot smoother if you just kind of were that ignorant, kind of naive individual. Like, you know, he was in trouble. I wasn't sure what it was for, so I gave him the money.
Yeah.
I'm made of it, you know. And we've been together for a long time, and I'm just trying to help a buddy out.
And in most cases, I feel like, I don't even say that. Because
you'd be totally wrong on that.
If it's a criminal case, then some of the details of the investigation by the time it's over mm-hmm. are going to get out. But
it may already very well be known.
Yeah, man. This is going to be fascinating.
Yeah, I will.
This is just good. This is going to be so good. But
aren't you glad it's not Altuve? It's not Yordan. It's not Bregman. It has nothing to do with an Astro. It's good.
Man, look, I am very glad. But I do think we are at a point where we are going to want to know, now that the narrative has flipped from Ohtani giving a dude money for his gambling debt to this guy stole my money. Now we need to know everything.
Yeah.
We need to know every little detail. Like, what did he steal? When did he steal it? How did he steal it? You know, just so we can dot all the I's and cross all the T's and be sure that this version of the story is the correct one. That's another thing, Sean, I think that's messed up about this. And for Ohtani's part, whether he's implicated, guilty, innocent, whatever you think he is. But the fact that the story was presented one way and then completely flipped and changed, like the public story, the story that the world got, was one thing. And then they got another story, like, just within minutes, hours, whatever it was.
Isn't that that's ironic?
That's not good. that is not good in terms of you know, trustability. You know what I mean?
Horrible communication skills.
Veracity.
The two were not on the same page, clearly, the two sides. Apparently, a Dallas radio station, and this has since been written about in a couple of different areas. SI picked it up, Cowboys Country up there talking about the idea of...
I think it was their SB Nation, their local SB Nation blog that first put it out there, Blogging the Boys. So like the Battle Red blog equivalent to the Cowboys are the first ones that presented this idea.
I gotcha. I think it's a horrible idea. And that is, the Dallas Cowboys should absolutely be interested in trading for Damian Pierce, the Houston Texans. If I can only look at it from a Texan standpoint of view, I don't know what the Cowboys have going on up there with their running back situation, though.
Nothing.
It seems like they haven't had much of anything going on
for
a little while now.
That's why the idea came up, because the answer to that is nothing.
Yeah. If I'm the Houston Texans and I look at my running back room as it is currently situated, in no way, shape, or form can I feel good about that situation, because your running back room, it has a couple of other guys in it, like Jared Doakes and J.J. Taylor. They're there, but they're not really there, in my opinion. It's Joe Mixon and Damian Pierce. Damian Pierce going into year three on a huge... What? Damian Pierce.
That was that's a delayed reaction, but that's on the other ones that
the
you
J.J.
put out
Taylor.
Who?
Exactly.
Who did you say, Doakes?
Jared Doakes, yeah.
Who? All
right. You know him. Camp bodies.
Who?
Yeah.
They, hey, if they show up right now, they need a name tag. They need to check in with Lee. If they show up right now to this station, they need to check in with Leroy at the front,
yeah,
and get a badge. Because we're going to say, who?
I was going to do it. You're wearing that one out. Come on, show. There's no way in hell you're making this deal if you're the Houston Texans. I think it's pretty clear that they're not going to give up on this guy. And what are you going to get for Dameon Pierce? Like a sixth round pick, seventh round pick?
Yeah. This has got to be way different from the situation with Malik Collins, where they trade the seventh round pick. And it's like, okay, so now what are you going to do?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like absent of drafting a guy, so maybe that's when it happens. Maybe they draft a run, maybe they draft their new Dameon Pierce somewhere in this year's draft, and that's how they end up doing it. But as we sit right now, and the names that you just gave being the rest of their running back depth, there's no way that they could trade Dameon Pierce, yeah, and, you know, and expect that to be a passable thing, a defensible thing, I should say.
To me, they created a void already that didn't need to happen,
right,
you know, with the interior tackle situation. But it's easy for us to say that. It's also, in the same breath, a little bit critical of D'Amico Ryans. And if we're going to trust this guy who completely turned around a defense that was one of the very worst in the league 3 years running to being one of the best in the league this past season, if he thinks he needs to go a different direction on the interior, then by all means, let's, yeah, go do it. Because,
right,
we see the wheels spinning. We see them making moves. We see Danielle Autry. We see D'Nico Autry. We see Danielle Hunter. We see what you're doing at linebacker. Little trust, because it has been earned. If not just solely on the part of Nick Caserio, I think, and I don't necessarily fall into that category, I think the D'Amico effect is in large part why we feel better about Nick Caserio, for the players that he drafted previously, because you got a competent coaching staff in-house to get the best out of those players this year. Because we weren't talking about those guys the way that we are now,
yeah,
2 years ago. Hashtag Nico Collins, just for one example. Jonathan Grenard, another example.
Yeah.
You get me.
For sure. Blake Cashman. Yeah.
Special teams ace, now, yeah, badass linebacker who's, yeah, going to get paid in Minnesota, potentially. I think Dameon Pierce is a guy that people, it's easy for some reason for them to hate on. You literally just love this guy 5 minutes ago, and now you don't think he can do a damn thing to help this team. If you just remember, and mind you, he rushed for over 1,000 yards for a crappy offense, for crappy coaches,
well, he was
a crappy team.
He was on pace for it, right? He ended up getting hurt at the end.
Right, he missed it like by 2 yards or something like,
yeah,
that.
Yeah, because it was 9-something. But
yeah,
he would have gotten it if he had played the whole season.
He was a badass. I mean, he was literally one of the only reasons to watch that team do anything on a week-in and week-out basis. That was it. And he's tough. He's physical. He may not be the sharpest tool in the shed when it comes to football, but damn, I don't know. I don't care. Like, to me, a guy who I got a chance to talk a lot with over the course of the last 2 years, I can't specifically say last year because he hid very well.
Yeah.
And maybe rightfully so. He's a guy who is all about just going to work and trying to get better. You could talk to Danny Barrett. You could talk to him. I remember talking to Rex Burkhead about it. I remember talking to Devin Singletary about it. This is a guy who just does not stop working and stop the process. I got full faith in that guy that he's going to give it a go. And if he's going to be able to be a fit in this system, we're going to see it very early on.
Yeah, it's the whole reason why everything that you just said, all the good things you just said about Dameon Pierce, are all the reasons why it would make sense that the Cowboys, who have been inactive for the most part this offseason, haven't added much of anything to their team. Now, to be fair, they had a pretty good football team last year. They come up short because they're the Cowboys, because their head coach quarterback situation is not, to me, I know Mike McCarthy has a Super Bowl, but that was with Aaron Rodgers. Mike McCarthy.
Long time ago.
Yeah, Mike McCarthy and Dak Prescott are just not a Super Bowl head coach quarterback combination to me, and so they're going to always fall short with that combination at the top.
Mm-hmm.
But that being said, it is a good football team. It is a very good football team. It's part of the reason why they probably haven't done as much with their team. They're just like, hey, we're good enough to run this back and hope that the results are better. But everything good that you just said about Damian Pierce is the reason why it would make sense that
that's why they find him appealing.
Yeah,
sure.
The Cowboys would want to try to go have a low risk type of trade for a guy like that. But it's also the reason why it'd make you side eye the Texans if they were to do it. Or
again,
let me ask you this. Would it make you side eye them for doing it? Or does this trust level in D'Amico and again by proxy Nick, would it make you sour a little bit on Damian Pierce? Like, would it be more indicative to you of where Damian Pierce must sit within this regime and within this system, how he's picking it up, how they believe he will pick it up? Because they, like you talk about him not being necessarily the sharpest tool in the shed in terms of football.
Mm-hmm.
Well, whatever level of truth there is to that or not, they know the truth of it more than we do.
Yeah.
So, like, to me, it would, how indicative would that be if they were to make the move for you? Like, if the Texans quit on Damian Pierce, would that make you more likely to do so as well? Even if you still root for the guy no matter where
he
goes.
No, and I know what you kind of going here, but look, it's about Bobby, too. You know, it's his determination. Like, how well is this guy going to fit this year? I mean, we're watching this guy put in the work, but is it clicking or is it not? And I need to see it on the field. Like, they're going to be able to make that determination by, you know, what he's clearly grasping or not grasping in the film room. Talking things through with him, you know, is there a real understanding? You could talk about it all day and it might make sense, but is your, you know, natural instinct going to show through on a football field or not? And I think that's why the Texans love Damian Pierce, because he's just a dude that is an absolute ball of hate. He's going to put his head down and he's going to run right through you if he can't run around you. And I think that was, you know, part of the issue where it was a patience thing. You talked about it last season. It's like, you know, maybe this is one of those things where I need to just look at some old film. I made the adjustment before at Florida where I took a half yard back in my pre-snap stance. Maybe I need to go full yard. Why would you do that? To give yourself a little bit more time to see what's developing in front of you.
Yeah.
He's clearly a little bit too impatient, or was, you know, to hit the hole and maybe not let the cutback lane develop or something like that.
Yeah.
That's something that I don't think you can determine right now. You have to go see that. You have to let that play out. And I think the Texans have shown to this point they're every bit willing to let him earn his keep here. But I've said it, and I said it, I'll say it again. He's RB3 as it's concerned right now. Might be second on the depth chart, but that dude has to earn his spot. Because he is, once upon a time ago, just a fourth-round pick.
Yeah.
And I don't care what you did your rookie season. That was a different regime. This is now. We can go out and get a dude that fits our scheme better, but we like you. We think you can make the adjustment. We think you have got the physical traits. We think you can add something to, you know, what Joe Mixon's bringing us. And I do too.
Do you think it's too difficult to mix up schemes? And what I mean by that is, like, is there a way to go out there, and one of the cool things about this Shanahan, you know, all of this tree, is that they make a lot of different things look the same.
Mm-hmm.
But that's within the scheme.
Yeah.
I'm curious how, and I would imagine, if I'm thinking about it, surely they've at least thought about it and maybe said, hey, no, we can't do that. But I just to throw this off of you, can they not run more power scheme with Damian Pierce, or is that, like, just too dead giveaway? Like, okay, we know that guy can't run in his own blocking scheme, so we're just going to go heads up and just, you know, try to sell out for the run if Damian Pierce is in the game. What I'm asking is, can they run a power scheme with Damian Pierce and then run the rest of their stuff when he's not in the
game? My mind immediately goes to the offensive line, and I'm trying to think of, like, okay, the personnel that they've got. And
an offensive line who, by the way, struggled with the zone scheme last year.
Yes.
With an offensive line coach that was also new to the zone scheme
but
last year.
They got a little bit nastier with Juice Scruggs, penciling him in as your center right now, right?
Yeah.
And Kenyon Green, who is bread and butter, a run blocker and a guy that's going to mow your ass over.
Yeah.
Like, that might very well be a possibility. If Kenyon Green can come into camp and escape health issues, injury issues, and he seemingly made this offseason to this point all about football and becoming a better football player as opposed to getting certain parts of his body up to speed and working on rehab. I mean, maybe that is a possibility. Because just considering their personnel, I mean, it's a completely different conversation in regards to what we know we need to see from this offensive line, but for what we think they're capable of.
Yeah.
In not being necessarily the most adept at the zone blocking scheme themselves.
Right.
Yeah, maybe we could see that. That'd be a hell of a compliment. Is it too much to ask? I don't know. That's for sharper and brighter minds for me to determine.
Don't give up on your young players, Texans, namely Damian Pierce.
Especially the damn Cowboys. Screw those guys.
There's no reason to do that.
All right, coming up next, DB Scott, Sean Bajani in for Locker and Lopez. It's confession time, so we'll break into the confessional, and we'll also get to these guys. I got to admit, I did not see this coming, and if you're being honest, you didn't either. That's next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.
Confession time. I didn't think I had very many, but you know, when you know the segment's coming up, B. Scott, wheel starts spinning and you're like, yeah, you know what, I do.
Yeah,
I do. It is that time, confessional time. And it's this is one of my favorite segments out of any show that I ever sit in on, because it allows me to just I don't know, do what I like to really do, and it's just be myself.
Kind of vent.
Just vent. Sometimes it turns into more venting versus, you know, just kind of leaving it all out there on the table and just being whatever with it. Now, today it's going to be one of those, like, whatever. I have to admit, my first confession, I hate it when you guys bring up music as a topic.
Yeah, we try. I try not to do that, man. Because
I hate it.
You
with
get a
passion.
Bunch of people. Oh, I'm switching to music and all this other stuff.
Not for that reason. For me, because I can't relate to it at all.
Yeah,
I don't listen to music in my car. It's a small percentage of time.
I am so glad that this is Bajani's first confession. Keep going. Keep going, because this is going to spur mine. Go ahead.
Oh, hell. All right. If you're gonna bring up music, I'm gonna be pissed.
No. It's gonna be in line with what you're saying.
The only time I listen to music of any kind is when I'm with my 4-year-old. When we get in the car, he has one request and one request only. Dad, can we listen to Metallica? And I say, sure. Put it on, and I have to listen to Enter Sandman, Master of Puppets, and I forget.
Where do you
other.
Get that from? You?
The love of Metallica and
yeah.
Me? I mean,
okay. So are you more of a classic rock guy?
I listen to everything, but I listen to none of the new stuff because I think the new stuff, it just hasn't hit me.
Which, like, is not everything, by the way.
But see, what is everything?
Everything. I mean, I listen to like old school rap. I listen to old school country, some new country. It just depends. Classic rock.
So if you had to put yourself in the category, what category, music category?
Like, I would say, like, 90s, early 2000s. Is that fair? Of, like, any genre of music. Could be rap, could be rock, could be
feel like you kind of sitting on the fence a little bit, but I'll take that. I got you.
I mean, what's sitting on the fence about it? I'm not passionate about, like, yeah, I'm not a metalhead like Patrick Creighton, or I'm not like all into hip hop like you guys, and I'm definitely not like all about Eric Church like Clint Sterner.
Eric Church is dope. I can vouch for that.
Cool. But I couldn't name a song, you know, to save my life.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. I like music, but I don't give a damn who sings it. I don't know band names. I don't care. If it's a good song, turn it up.
Watch this. These are my confessions.
So during show prep, when we were coming up with some topics, some ideas, talking about what was going on throughout the world.
I think I know what you're gonna
and everything
do.
Like that. Figgy mentioned a couple of music topics. One of them being something that we mentioned earlier, the new Future album that's out, which, by the way, internet going nuts, the hits, what, no matter what actual segment we put that in, it would have been appropriate. Check this out, Bajani. The Houston Texans themselves have now played into it. They've got a tweet out there with the title of this Future album and a picture of Will Anderson and maybe Christian Harris or somebody else like that. But it's like, we don't trust you, whatever it is. But it's like, you know, clearly themed with the Future album and all of the fallout from it, right? Mm-hmm. So they're playing into a trending topic on social media. And I'm sure the young folks over there that are running the admin also are into this topic. They are also into Future, the album, everything about it. But my confession is, when Figgy brought it up, okay, I kind of was thinking, and I wasn't going to say this. I was just going to see how it was going to play out on the air. But when Figgy brought it up, I looked at him and I thought in my head, does Figgy know who he doing a show with? Like, this ain't me and you doing either the B Block podcast.
That's what you're talking about.
Or the Gems and Juice podcast. This is In the Loop, specifically with Sean Bajani sitting in the driver's seat. And I thought, hey, you know what? This is another reason why I really respect Figgy.
This could be fun.
Because Figgy ain't going to change who he is and what he think for nobody. He didn't seem to give a damn that Sean Bajani was going to be driving this thing and clearly did not know what album he was talking about. Clearly did not care about this whole beef or whatever was going on. Figgy was going to bring it up and put it in the show. And I'm so damn glad that I was here to be the guy in between that could relate to what Figgy's talking about and the fact that Sean Bajani has no idea.
And the only reason I brung it up because it really had the internet going
nuts. It did.
If it didn't, I wouldn't have brung it up because I knew Sean wasn't familiar with this.
And I don't want to take up too much confession time with this, so just make this a two-part confession. I thought about it too. And so this is some props to Figgy, actually. Because I thought about it too, but I was like,
thought about what?
Putting that in there as a topic, the Future album. But I was like, but I don't know what the hell I'm talking about. I'm not going to bring that up.
That could be the fun part.
And then my man Figgy did it. So I appreciate the collab.
So
right
I looked
there.
On Twitter and everything that had to do with that album was trending. So you had Drake, you had Kendrick Lamar, you had J. Cole, you had Joe Budden, who ended up getting into this mix too. You had
Joe
Future.
Budden?
Yeah, he ended up getting into this mix.
There you
mix
go.
Too.
What an awesome freaking name.
Hold on, wait a minute.
That's a great name.
Do you realize what just happened here, Figgy?
Yeah.
You realize what just happened here? Hey, so Bajani,
tell me something else I don't know.
Joe Budden. Because I think Bajani thought that Joe Budden's name was Button, like button up, a button on your pants, button on your
button.
Shirt. Button.
Button, I know, Bud.
Yeah, Joe Budden.
I got that.
Oh, okay.
That's why I'm laughing.
I got you.
God bless. See what...
I was giving you even less credit than you deserve.
God bless America, dude.
Like, wait a minute. Let's mansplain.
And that's his real name, by the way, too.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Joseph Anthony Button.
That might even be better. Like, what a blessing that was for him. All right. You got a confession, Figgy?
Yeah, I got one. Watch this. These are my confessions. I guess we're going to stay on this music. I guess it's kind of music topic, but...
Did I not just make my point?
Yeah, you could get with this one. So yesterday I watched a documentary on Hulu called Freaknik. And I'm too young to know about the Freaknik. It was happening in the early 80s all the way to the late 90s. And heard it in a whole bunch of rap songs and stuff like that. But I was watching the documentary and a song came on from Uncle Luke, who was in, was it Two Live Crew?
Yep.
Two Live Crew. And they got a song called Daisy Dukes. And some people familiar with that song.
Yeah, yeah. But, we should all be.
Yeah, but
I gotta hear it.
I did not know the term Daisy Dukes came from Dukes of Hazzard. I did not know that.
Well,
man.
I guess I knew that.
I had no idea.
It was,
man,
new knowledge. Somebody dropped, really, that on me a few years ago.
I did not know that, man. No. I'm familiar with the movie. I did not know that term came from Dukes of Hazzard, man.
This makes us sound really young. now we have tapped into our youth. I don't know why I found out a long, long, long time ago, but I definitely did. Maybe because I was such a damn fan of Daisy Dukes themselves.
Well, who isn't?
That somebody yeah, had I to just at least give me a, the school. I thought
it was just
me.
Yeah, I thought it was just the short shorts type of term. I thought it was just like a little slang that somebody came up with. I had no idea it came from that movie.
All right, I got one.
Watch this. These are my confessions.
I have defaulted on a bet that I made with Patrick Creighton and Chris Santiago about, 5 weeks ago, 6 weeks ago, something like that.
Defaulted on it. Should be a shame.
Yeah, and I don't know if I have time to pay it off or not. I bet those guys that I would be able to get through all, I think it's 8 seasons. Or maybe 6 seasons, I can't remember now. All the seasons of The Sopranos. I've never seen it before. And one of our listeners on Area 45, I think he's a loyal listener, I think he listens all day too, sent me the entire box set.
That was the last time you was doing this show.
Is
they
it?
They text in. Remember, that was something else.
Oh, Adam, you Spillane, made that happen. Yeah, you're the one that started it.
Yeah, Adam Spillane gave you a hard time about not seeing the Sopranos.
That's right.
Somebody said they was going to mail it to you.
Yeah, that's right. And they mailed it to me. I watched the first episode, and I have not been able to watch anything since. Just time and stuff happening. But I said I was going to be able to watch it before the NFL draft, and I don't know if that's going to happen. Have you seen it?
Yeah. The Sopranos?
Yeah. Is it possible? Course. Can I watch? Can I pull that off?
So
getting off at 10 o'clock every night? And
yeah, I think so. I think you absolutely can. It depends on how much budget, how much time you budget for it.
I don't go to bed till like 2.
But I think you absolutely can, and which leads me into one last confession before we go.
Watch this.
Somebody's laughing at me on the text line. LOL, one episode. What?
As they should. So I have not been able to fully focus on work or anything that I'm supposed to be focusing on for the past, I'm going to call it 5 or 6 days, mm-hmm, because I've been binge watching a bunch of random bleep from documentaries. Like I watched the Nickelodeon documentary. Have y'all seen it? Quiet on the Set.
Yeah, I was kind of nervous to watch that one.
Yeah, I watched that one. Man, it had me in a headlock a couple of days. What's today? Friday, Wednesday, whatever I was supposed to do Wednesday that didn't get done. This be the reason, okay? Because I was watching Quiet on the Set pretty much all day. The Subway documentary about Jared from Subway, which has been out for a little while now, but I finally got around to it.
Ooh, I want to see that.
So that's what happened. Once I got into something that I liked, I didn't want to stop.
Yeah, if you enjoyed this, you might be interested in this.
Yeah, and even if not, it's just like, okay, what else can I watch? So I stopped with the Quiet on the Set documentary, and I'm like, you know what? I don't want to go back to the real world and work and parent and do all of these things that I'm supposed to do. I want to watch the next documentary that I ain't seen yet. And so now I was on the Jared Subway doc. I watched one about crypto, the one about Centra, the cryptocurrency fraud case. Yeah. I was all on that yesterday when I was supposed to be working.
I think I saw that one.
It has cut into my productivity, my binging of these documentaries. Not to mention that I'm going back and watching all the X-Men on top of that, which I've seen.
But it's become content on a radio show. Yes. For your job as well. So that's not necessarily a bad thing.
Real quick, we got a lot of Will Ashley guys on the text line. I said Duke of Hazzard's movie is the TV show.
The screen, folks.
Yeah, I said,
on, Will, actually.
Yeah, I made him. I said movie,
you
my
know
bad.
What, you know what he meant.
It's the TV show.
Whoops.
Somebody texted laughing at me that I only watched one episode of Sopranos, and they go, that's not even trying. I know, that's bad. That's a bad job by me. But you know what? That first episode, I was fully expecting for it to pull me in.
And it's slow.
I cannot tell you.
It's the same thing with like The Wire too, man. Yeah. It takes time a little bit. You got to keep watching.
But that's the first thing I tell anybody that's never seen Breaking Bad or Better Call Saul. Like it's slow, but it ain't this slow.
Yeah. Well, Breaking Bad at least starts out with like a ridiculous scene. Like it's slow storyline wise, but there's some action early on.
Yeah.
The Wire and The Sopranos are alike in the sense that it takes you a while to realize the genius that you're watching.
Yeah.
It takes quite a while.
Yeah. I got to get that going. I got to try to make it happen. At least put forth a better effort. You're right, text. You're right, texter. 713-572-4610. You can call or text. Hit us up in the chat. YouTube, Twitch, we got it up for you. Coming up next, Wagner, Lidge, and Dotel. Remember those guys? They weighed in on the Astros' newest version of the shut-you-down bullpen. What they have to say, and can it even compete? That's next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
Man, people are relentless on these chats, man. Bajani never had the makings of a varsity binge watcher. People are letting me have it on this.
I think they say that. I think they say that with love.
I mean, they're not wrong, but I mean, I can binge with the best of them. I'm just not interested in everything everybody else is for some reason.
But that's the beauty of today's binge era, Bajani. There is something. So one of the things that I struggle with in this binging process over the last few days is just narrowing it down to what I was going to binge. There are far more options than you've got attention span and time.
Yeah.
So you can find something. Netflix does the percentage match with you. Like, they know your habits at this point.
They know me.
What's a percentage match?
That's why I've seen every single true crime docuseries to watch.
See, there you go. So there's Netflix, but then there's all the other apps from, you know, from the Hulus to the, for me, I'm into a lot of the stuff on Disney Plus, obviously HBO Max. I mean, dude, Peacock. Like, there's something on all of these apps to where, like, if I want to get lost, like I'm worried about my tournament watching over the weekend. Like, I'm going to get in this U of H tonight for sure. But outside of that, like, even the Longhorns yesterday, based off of how they play, like, they almost let a team that scored 11 points in the first half come back on them in the second half in Colorado State.
Yeah.
And I'm, like, watching that game, thinking about how much of an embarrassment it is to competitiveness around the world. And I'm like, yo, neither one of the, including the team that I'm rooting for in the Longhorns, I'm hoping that the Cougars handle business today and at least, you know, look more like what they've looked throughout the year. But I'm like, man, look, I don't have to sit around and watch some of these terrible games if I don't want to. I'm a little bit worried about how much tournament watching I'm gonna have if the games look anything like that. There was another one, I think just a little while ago, where the score was like 20-17 at halftime. I'm like, yo, y'all gonna have to get a few more buckets than that, or it's gonna be this good old Hulu binge watching.
That's the thing, you know, the point scoring. You look at the points per and the allowed points per in these tournament matchups when you're trying to make a decision, and how often does it turn out to be games just like that you're talking about, where it's just like way low. It looks like you're watching, you know, junior varsity high school basketball. It's like, holy smokes, pulling teeth. You just want to scoop your eyeballs out, some of this stuff. And I think back to like 15 years ago when, you know, now you got the shot clock, but when you had like 40 seconds, you know, on one half of the court to do something, it was just like old school. Let's pass the ball around the top of the key.
Yep.
around the world.
Yep. Like let's dribble down and dribble back like, you know, 5 feet to kill the 5 second clock or a 5 second tick down that the referee's doing with his hand over there.
Exactly.
You know, like nonsense like that. It's like, yo, this ain't hoop.
Talk about D'Antoni's 7 second offense. College basketball literally back in the day waited till the last 7 seconds of the shot clock to get into their offense.
Yeah. Brutal. Brutal.
Just hanging out. What do you think of the Astros' current bullpen being compared to Dotel, Lidge, and Wagner? I got to admit, those are the first three names that I thought of. And, like, I don't know. I can't be the only guy on this boat. Everybody had to think the same thing when you go out and you get Josh Hader, right?
Yeah.
When you can roll out at a Brian Abreu, a Ryan Presley, and now a Josh Hader is your 7, 8, 9 guys, like, bada bing, bada boom, done. Signed, sealed, delivered. call it quits, everybody. Yeah. I never felt that way about anything other than Dotel Lidge Wagner back in that heyday.
Yeah, and I like the comparison. The difference is, and where we take it to the next level, like the comparison is fine on its face, but those guys never pitched on a team like this.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So if you couple it, okay, the comparison that we're talking about plus the team that we already know and love, whew, man, like they don't even need to really be that good necessarily. Like they don't need to be Dotel Lidge and Wagner per se. But just the fact that they're good enough to compare to those guys on top of playing with a team like this, or, you know, with a lineup like this. Now, if the rotation can get itself together, both with health and performance, then now we're talking about something totally different. Because, mm-hmm. like, those guys just never played with anybody or with a team anything close to this, I don't think.
Yeah.
I mean, it is a fascinating thing to think about where the Astros could find themselves if other things go right for them.
No doubt.
Yeah, and it's a great thought.
I think there's a really good chance that a lot of those things do go right for them this year. And maybe I feel a little bit better about that than most. But I thought it was interesting what some of these guys said. Lidge, Dotel, Wagner, they were all asked about this in a recent piece by Brian McTaggart, who writes for MLB.com. He wrote a piece today, "How dominant can the Astros bullpen be? We ask the experts," that being Brad Lidge, Octavio Dotel, and Billy Wagner. Lidge had this to say. "First of all, as soon as they picked up Hader, I felt very confident in saying they have the best bullpen in baseball. I think that's hands down. There's no question about that," from Lidge. Dotel, when asked about it, quote, "Those guys have great talent and they can do what we did, but I don't think it's going to be like us. I don't want to be like I'm the guy or whatever, but it's not going to be exactly like that. There's no way." Feels like he's sitting on the fence a little bit, but
was that Lidge?
Was Dotel.
That was Dotel. Okay.
That was Dotel. I think he knows how good they can be, but I think he's, you know, looking at what they were able to do, because all three of those guys at some point in time were premier closers.
Yeah.
In Major League Baseball, some a little bit longer than others, you know, maybe a potential Hall of Famer in Billy Wagner versus a guy like Octavio Dotel, who did it for a year or two. For the Astros, whereas, you know, Billy Wagner's looking at it, you know, I think objectively, he said, quote, "You were looking at 9 punchouts in 3 innings. That could happen really quick. You could shut down a game in a heartbeat if you had the lead going into the 7th. That's a great card to hold when you're sitting there with that opportunity," talking about what they did. And
that feels like what this is, doesn't it? Like, if you got a lead going into the 7th, don't you feel like you could end the game with 9 punch-outs between? Maybe Presley less so today than before.
Why? But look how dominant he was the last 2 postseasons.
Yeah, well, yeah, the last 2 postseasons. But there's been some slippage there, I think, over the last year or so. There have been some questions. Like, he's not as good today as he was 3 or 4 years ago, I don't think. And he has had some dominant postseasons.
Yeah, he's 35.
But you're right. But I do think that there's something to that. Like, he's still Ryan Presley. So between Abreu, Presley, and Hader, like, it does feel like that. Like it could be that. You just end the game with immaculate innings.
I wish the Astros would have gone out and got Hector Neris back, because he only signed for like 1 year, $8 million. And yeah. It's like, damn, if you could have had a 6th, 7th, and 8th inning guy, or 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th guy, like, come on, sign me up. Let's go. Because if everybody's fears became reality, whereas, hey, the Astros starting pitching, it's like you don't trust him. You don't trust Fromber for some reason right now. You don't trust Christian Javier, which I get a little bit more. You're not ready to trust Hunter Brown. You're not ready to trust J.P. France. You're not ready to trust Justin Verlander. Stick around. Like, all these guys are like 5.5 inning guys.
Yeah.
When you break all the numbers down, hey, you need that guy.
Yeah.
And that guy this year, I think Dana Brown's looking at it this way. I think Joe Espada's looking at it this way, at least in terms of hope. Rafael Montero could reemerge as an impactful player out of the pen for the Stros. He could be effectively that 6th inning guy. And the Astros maybe have more when they get fully healthy in a guy like Ronel Blanco and a guy like Brandon Belak, which are more longer relief. But if you need a dude that's effective that can get outs, no need to look any further than those guys. And in relation to this, you know, Astros roster and staff, I have to admit, like, I feel pretty damn good about this situation right now, even as it stands with Verlander, even as it stands with, you know, the question mark of JP France, because the expectation is Hunter Brown takes the next step. JP takes the next step. There's supposed to be another plus 20 innings in their workload this year versus last year. That's been the progression, the natural progression of Astro pitchers in the system. You're expecting Christian Javier, who's 15 pounds lighter, who's got a better fastball, to be the guy that he was 2 years ago. Same thing with Fromber.
Yeah, for me, I think I would be – so I'm not as bullish on the starters as you are. Like, I love them and respect them and, mm-hmm. and love what they've done. But based off of the health issues, I am a little bit concerned. The thing that I'm taking some comfort in is this bullpen that we're talking about, especially the back end of it. And this might be a little different from others, but the way the Astros picked it up at the plate throughout the season, like they started off really rough.
Mm-hmm.
And then quietly, slowly but surely, as the season went on, they turned into the Astros again,
mm-hmm.
like with their bats.
Yeah.
And so for me, I'm just kind of like fingers crossed. The things that I feel like I can believe in wholeheartedly right now, right, as an Astros fan, is the lineup's going to rake. The bullpen's going to be awesome. Hopefully, even if the starters are not necessarily as great as they have been in the past, hopefully the lineup's giving you enough offense to give you a lead. You know, maybe you are giving up 3-4 runs more than you would like to, right? 3 or 4 runs. But hopefully the Astros lineup is giving you 5-6.
Yeah.
And you can go into that seventh inning with a 7-4 lead and maintain it.
You've got the propensity now to be able to maybe play with a lead in more ball games this season than in years past. I like the idea of Yordan hitting second. They've even experimented this spring with Kyle Tucker hitting second behind Jose Altuve. And I kind of like Tucker in the two-hole. Yeah. I want to see if they do that runner. More. Yeah. Better base runner, a threat to steal bags. Now, I don't know if you're necessarily doing that with Yordan Alvarez, you know, at the plate. If he ends up hitting 3 or if Bregman stays there, Yordan hits 4 on days in which Tucker's a two-hole hitter. But and you're certainly not doing that if you're Altuve. If you get on base and Alvarez is behind you with nobody out, if you're Jose Altuve and you're going to steal a bag and be more aggressive like Joe Espada wants you to be this season, you better pick a really good time to do it, because you get thrown out at second base with Yordan Alvarez up there, that can be a problem.
Yeah.
It just negates the idea of going that route to begin with. But
that'll be interesting to watch, because we know Joe Espada wants him to be more aggressive on the base pass.
And I like that.
I don't know if he's talking about Altuve specifically, though, because
he was the other day. Did you hear the comments?
Well, what I'm saying is it's not like Altuve's had that issue. So, like, if they as a team want to be more aggressive on the base paths, the last person that needs to be told it is Jose Altuve.
Well, fair. But, I mean, his stolen base numbers are down remarkably the last 3-4 years versus what they were earlier in his career when he was stealing 36, 38, 56 bags one year. I mean, you've been looking at, like, 5, 6, 8.
Yeah.
I think 18 last year. So, we'll see. 713-572-4610. You want to be a part of the conversation, hit us up in the chats. Coming up next, man, already 1 o'clock hour. Look at that. Time is flying. We have got a trip around the NFL, and, man, I should have included this in my confessions, but I'll save it for the other side. I kind of feel bad for Pendergast today. That's next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.